Hello and welcome to the show. On today's episode, episode 12, we will be doing the mental health awareness. Mental health, you know, is a big issue in the world. It affects many people. Last report I read said 1 in 8 people are affected by some type of mental illness. Well, diagnosed with 1 in 8 with some type of mental illness that could affect their daily life. Again, today, my co-host, we got Ray. Podcast without Ray.
What's happening, family? What's going on, More Speaks? It's nice to be back. Sorry for my delay in coming in, but we're in the building.
All right. Yeah, so Ray had some technical issues last week, so I did the podcast by my lonesome, but that's okay. I pushed through it. Tons of editing, but we got through it.
I would love to give y'all my input on Black History Month. I would have loved to take part in that topic, but you nailed it, Morph. You know, given your perspective, I hope people got some good feedback for you there. But I really would have enjoyed to have it with you last week, but I'm glad you pulled through.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. So mental health awareness. I chose this topic because I know some folks that, you know, deal with mental illness, mental disorder. So it's labeled many ways. So a mental disorder, also known as a mental illness or a psychiatric disorder, it's basically a behavioral or mental pattern that causes distress or an impairment of a personal functioning. This could be something that's persistent, relapse from time to time, and these are typically diagnosed by a mental health professional like a psychiatrist or psychologist. All right. And then there's many types of disorders. So I'll just name a few right now, and then I'll ask Ray for his perspective. So the ones that I found types of disorders that were clinically, you know, proven is depression, anxiety, bipolar, dementia, attention deficit, schizophrenia, obsessive compulsive, autism, and post-traumatic stress, also known as PTSD. So, Ray, what input do you have on this?
Well, the psychological spectrum is pretty big. There's a lot more diseases besides those 9, but, you know, for the sake of the podcast, we're going to just focus on these 9. But definitely is something that affects, you know, quite a bit of people. It transcends race. It transcends age. And it's something that definitely has become woven into the fabric of our day-to-day life. And hopefully we could shed some light and some good positive energy on this episode so that people can get some good information and kind of point them in the right direction if they need to get some help.
I mean, there's many ways to treat mental health, mental illness. And you got to remember, mental health, you know, you got to treat your body right. So, you know, it can treat you right. Besides mental health, you know, you should be taking breaks, you know, making sure that, you know, you take a mental break so you don't, you know, fall victim to one of these. You know, all of these, it happens to you because of a certain issue or something that's happened in your life. And then some you were born with and then some you develop, you know, kind of like depression. You develop depression because of what's going on around you or something that happened to you. PTSD, you know, is typically because something happened traumatic, you know, and it stays stuck in your brain. So there's a few ways to treat these. So a psychiatrist, a psychiatric hospital, using psychotherapy, psychiatric medication, which I don't know. I mean, whenever I think of this, psychiatric medication, all I can think of is all the crazy movies when folks, you know, go to the psychiatric hospital and they drug them and they become even worse, or they get to the point where they don't know what's right from wrong, what's real, what's fake, because they're so drugged up and you can't even, you know, talk to them. Ray, you have any perspective on this?
Yeah, unfortunately for many people that suffer from mental health, Hollywood and you know, has really painted like a negative stigma on having mental illnesses. It's typically not how you think it is. So, you know, people that suffer from mental illnesses aren't in psychiatric wards. These aren't people that take medicines and go in full zombie mode. You know, these are people that need help. And the toughest part about psychology or having a mental illness is kind of, first of all, it's accepting that you have the mental illness. Second thing would be taking the medication faithfully. And the biggest thing I would say for mental illness is support. If you don't have a circle of people around you that are supportive and understanding of your condition, then it's going to make it much more difficult for you to kind of navigate through your journey, especially if you don't have that mental strength or that resilience to do it on your own. And the truth about mental illness, Morph, is no one can do it on their own. You need to have a support. And, you know, we'll go on as we go along with the podcast, but it's definitely a conversation that we need to push further.
Okay. And just to reiterate on your point, when you said the medication and, you know, in light of things that have happened, you know, taking the proper medication for the right diagnosis, you know, so that is a big thing. You know, a lot of folks are misdiagnosed and take tons of pills for the wrong thing. And you got to remember, when you watch TV and you listen to all these medications, you take a medication because you're depressed. And guess what? It gives you 10 other symptoms, you know, diarrhea, you know, constant going to the restroom, upset stomach, you know, suicidal thoughts. You know, I know me and you, Ray, we spoke about this and we kind of, you know, that's why we chose to do this topic today. And I know it hits home that some of the things you said, like the circle, having that circle of support is what I read on a couple of things. Another way to treat some of these symptoms, and like I said, you can't treat everything the same. Every single diagnosis has a different way of treating it. You can't have a circle, you know, or intervention with someone who is schizophrenic because, you know, their mood and what they do, you know, could lead to something else crazier because they don't know what's right from wrong, what's real, what's not real. But like if someone's depressed, you know, a circle of folks that can help them, you know, include them in things. And, you know, because sometimes people are depressed just because what's around them or what's going on or them not being included with certain things. But then it could also be something that, you know, they dealt with earlier in their life, you know. So couple of ways that I read is a lifestyle change with certain ones. And like I said earlier, social interventions. And like you said, Ray, you know, that little circle of support, otherwise known as peer support. And then also always self-love and self-help. You know, that's a big one, because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to treat yourself right and you're not going to do the right thing. So that's part of it as well. Any perspective on treatments, Ray?
Yeah, so I want to kind of pull the covers back a little bit here. And I want to tell folks that mental illnesses, you have to understand, it's not something that anyone asks for, first of all. Second of all, support looks different for everybody. So what some people might consider support might be, hey, well, I call you every day, or, you know, hey, let's go drinking Friday night. It's Friday night. Let's turn up. you know, when you're going through depression, and I'm just sticking to depression, I'm not going into all other mental illnesses right now, but depression itself, you know, is something that requires you to participate in the process. So like, if you want to get out of depression, you have to force yourself to push through, you know, as much as you can anyway. And it sometimes it starts with little things like cleaning up your room, cleaning up your house, reorganizing your paperwork, or cleaning out your car, because a reflection of your outdoor surroundings is a reflection of what's on the inside. So if your house is dirty and disorganized, that's probably a reflection of your inner self. As far as medications go, first of all, I would highly recommend to our listeners, don't go on WebMD and start Googling a bunch of symptoms or illnesses that you think you may have, because, and I'm speaking that from personal experience, we are not professionals. You know, nobody, just because you have a cell phone or just because you went to college or if you dropped out, whatever, it doesn't matter. No one is a professional. You need to go speak to somebody that knows what they're talking about, that has handled multiple cases and a wide range of illnesses, so that they can guide you and see what the issue is. Because if you just have depression, and let's say you don't want to take medication, that's fine. There's natural remedies. There's other solutions. You can drink tea. You can go for a walk. You need sunlight if you're depressed. First things first, you got to get out of the house. You got to get out of that funk. So you got to go outside and sweat it out. You need that sunlight. But the medication...
Find that partner. Find someone to help you. That's a good one as well.
That sure is. The medication, though, is just about trusting the process and being able to communicate what it is that you're feeling at the time. Typically, somebody that's depressed, they're not just going to find out on WebMD, or they're not just going to wake up one day and say, oh, man, I'm so depressed. It'll typically start with little things, you know, showing up late to work when they're never late, oversleeping, undersleeping, overeating, undereating. It'll present itself in different forms. So the way people typically find out they're depressed is through a friend, a loved one, a manager, you know, somebody that's close to them that can notice that change in their behavior. So once you're aware of your depression, depending on how severe it is, because some people go into a day or two funk, and that's fine. But if you start going into a week, 2 weeks, a month, anything longer than that, you know, it doesn't hurt to go get yourself checked out. If you start coughing up blood, you're not going to wait. You're going to go right away to the hospital or to the doctor to get help. If you have a dog, and your dog sneezes the wrong way, you're going to take it to the vet. So why not take care of yourself? And the ultimate goal about mental illness is feeling better. So if you want to feel better and you want to help yourself, then you can go speak to a professional. Is it easy? No, it's not easy to go talk to a stranger and open up and tell them your darkest feelings and stuff that you don't share with nobody. But nonetheless, it's still important to go ahead and seek out that help. So that way, you know, what may just start out as depression right now, it could transition into something larger further down the road. So it's always good to kind of check yourself out and ask yourself the tough questions, look in the mirror and say, hey, am I at 100%? Am I at 80%? You know, what percentage do I feel best at? Is my behavior affecting others around me? So mental illness really goes deep and it's very uncomfortable. But at the same time, man, if you take care of business and you take care of yourself, your life can begin to just go back to what it used to be, if not better.
That was PSA with Ray. He went on a little rant, so I put the music in there. I didn't want to disturb him. PSA with Ray. But back to what Ray was saying, it's 100% true. It starts with yourself, making sure you're aware that you have this issue. And if you have a partner, hopefully you're not lonely. You have somebody. If you have a partner, you can start seeing the change in your partner. We'll let you know, there's something going on with you. And what happens is, and you got to remember, if you feel a certain way, that energy, that negative energy goes to your partner and they start feeling negative. So guess what happens? If neither one of you uplift yourself, you're just going to continue down the same path, have more problems, you know, relationship problems. I mean, it doesn't even have to be your life partner. It doesn't have to be your significant other. I mean, it can be your mom, your dad, your, you know, someone you're close with. Your friends will notice it. They're going to tell you something, you know, hey, you know, you don't hang out as much. And you deny it because in your mind, you don't know that you're having the issue. And because you haven't, you know, in your mind, you haven't, you know, diagnosed yourself. And like Ray's point, don't go to WebMD. WebMD is great for basic stuff. You can't diagnose mental illness with WebMD. And some of the stuff on WebMD, it's so, I would say it's vague because if your back hurts, it's going to say, oh, you have a strain in your back. But you probably, you know, you could have hurt your ribs and now it's going to your back. So you're trying to fix yourself with something on the wrong part of your body or something like that. You know, that's basically what Ray was saying. Don't go 100%. Go to a professional. Seek help. You know, seek a psychiatrist that can, you know, sometimes they can just talk you through it. You know, they can help you out. And guess what? They are human too. So they can misdiagnose you as well. But hey, always seek a second opinion, especially if what's going on with you hasn't changed. Give the medication 30 or some odd days, you know, because nothing helps directly that quick. I've seen it to where you can go on for like 30 days straight and then finally, you know, something happens.
You know, I'm going to share something with some of our listeners. It's something that I don't want to say I don't talk about, but I don't think I just talk about to the masses this way. People that are close to me or have been around me at some point probably know this, but go ahead and share it with you guys. So I myself check off a few of these mental illnesses that are on here, unfortunately. Or fortunately, depends on how you look at it. Long story short, guys, I got diagnosed at 17 with bipolar disorder. And the thing about that was at the time, I was like a teenager and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I was an honor student, a gifted and talented student, and I was pretty intelligent. So when I started noticing like different changes and stuff going on in my life, you know, I was going through like a very traumatic period, but I started looking up stuff like, hey, you know, why does my mood shift like this? Or why do I respond like that? And I came to the conclusion that I was bipolar. So I went to a doctor and this is the tough part about seeking help. And this is why I'm sharing my story is because we all assume it's not going to happen to me. I'm never going to have it, or I'm not crazy, or I don't have this, or I'm not psycho, or none of that. All those words may as well be derogatory terms. Those words are used to keep you from getting help. But anyway, I went to the doctor, and the first guy I talked to, he was like rude and not even paying attention. He's just like, look, my lunch break is coming up, so we got to make this quick. So at the time, I'm like 16, 17 years old. I can't really just speak up and say what I need to say. But, you know, my mother was there and he just gave me some random medication. I can't even tell you the name. I forgot. But that medication right there, I would take it. And within 10, 15 minutes, I was the Incredible Hulk. Like legit, I was angry beyond control. Right. So that wasn't right. So I went and got a second opinion. When I went and got a second opinion, they were like, okay, they confirmed my bipolar disorder and they started giving me medication. Now, might you mind, guys, this was like in 2008, 2009. We're in 2022, so things have changed. It was tough to be 17, 18 years old getting diagnosed with bipolar. I felt like it was something that was going to follow me my whole life. And it does, you know, it's not curable. It's something that you just treat and you kind of do everything you can to set yourself up for success. But sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want it to. Come to find out, man, last year, you know, this is, you know, all these years. Well, actually, let me backtrack. Sorry, y'all. At 18, I was taking my meds or whatever. And I came home and one day my stepfather was like, yo, you know, don't take those medicines, man. Like, you don't know what those medicines do to you. Like, I've known people that taking meds and they go crazy, yada, yada, yada. I went, I had a breakfast with a friend and she was telling me the same along, something along the same lines of, you know, those medications, they just mess you up. They're going to take your identity from you. A bunch of conspiracies, nothing proven. But nonetheless, my 18-year-old self listened and I stopped taking medication for about, I want to say 9 years, 9 to 10 years. So I started back up at 28, right before, about a year before I had my daughter. Again, it was the same thing, bipolar, right? So they sticking with the bipolar thing. So I went and got help and they're like, you're bipolar. And they start prescribing me medications again. This time around, since I was older, I was like, nah, you know, I don't need this. I don't need that. I was basically telling them how I wanted it and you know, what I wanted to do. You have to trust the people that you're talking to and you have to trust the process. So I started doing couples therapy last year, kind of trying to resolve some things at home. And of course, with mental illnesses, if you guys don't know, the divorce rates are really high. They're up there with police officers, detectives, lawyers, judges. They're up there with all these people that have really tough careers. The high divorce rates, it's up there with mental illness as well. So it's something that I take very seriously, that I try to keep under ropes. So doing this therapy, this happened like in October, y'all. So this wasn't long ago. I go and they have me talk to another psychiatrist. And this guy sits down and he's like, look, we got you on 5 different medications. None of the 5 medications are working. So I think you may have something else. Let's look into it. I need you to trust me. Let's take this medication and see where it goes. Based off of my previous experiences, it's not like I was so reluctant to do it. I wasn't just like, yeah, sign me up. In the spirit of kind of preserving my family, preserving everything I care about, I went ahead with the process just to see what it was. 10, 11 years of living with this, you know, I call a shadow or a ghost of bipolar, because it's something that if you feel like you can't shake it off, it's always with you. And I constantly tell people all the time, like, if I was only normal, like all the things I could accomplish. And people always tell me, you know, there's no such thing as normal. And I'm like, yeah, but there's people that wake up every day and they don't have to take medication to function, or they don't have to take medications to tell their wives that they love them every day, or tell their kids that they love them every day. You know, like, some people just get up and they live life. And with me, it was like, I always felt like I had a leash on me. So they come and find out, they're like, you know, we think you have ADHD, which, as you mentioned, is on the list. Both of them are on the list. Attention deficit hyperactive disorder, something like that.
Yes.
So ADHD is a completely different ballgame to me than bipolar. Like, for me, bipolar was what I would call a death sentence. It's not literally a death sentence, but bipolar is just, like I said, something that you can't shake off. Most people that are bipolar can't work high, successful paying jobs. Some people do, you know, kudos to them. But the majority, they just don't tend to do well in life. From a financial perspective. So can you live a quality life? Yeah, but very restricted. So when they told me I may have ADHD, my eyes lit up. I was like, bet, you know, wow. Like, I cried, I prayed to God, I thank God. Because to me, getting ADHD was like, you have high cholesterol. In comparison to cancer, I take high cholesterol any day. But it's still something that affects you. Now I'm on the proper medication. I went from taking 5 pills to taking 1. You know, do I have my rough days? Yes. Would I be lying to y'all if I said I'm happy all the time? Yeah. But what I will tell you is that we have to learn to accept that not every day is meant to be a happy day. Not every moment is meant to be happy. Not every day, not everything you do is meant to be celebrated. Instance of mine, I did get a second opportunity to kind of refresh my life and move forward. But it is, nonetheless, it's been a long journey. It's taken a huge toll on me because, you know, once people in their minds have made up their mind that you're bipolar or that you're crazy or that you can't control yourself, it's hard for them to shake that off. So what I've had to do is kind of pull the plug on almost 99% of the people in my life, including family, including friends, including anybody that is getting in my way right now. I've cut them off because you can't grow and move along in your journey if you have people still holding you accountable to somebody that you're no longer that person, or, you know, if they don't want to change with you. And a lot of times we have to be honest and look at our circles and say, look, people may have the best intentions, but is your intention what I need? And that's the aha moment as in mental illness, is it's not just us. It's everyone around us as well. Not, we all aren't on the same spectrum of intelligence, meaning common sense ain't common. Just off of that principle alone, we have to take into consideration each individual mental illness, each individual situation, and we can't approach everybody with the same strategy. A schizophrenic and a person with anxiety are going to respond completely different. A person True. With bipolar and a person with PTSD may act similarly, but it's not the same thing. So in my case, I went from bipolar to now I have anxiety, PTSD, and I have ADHD. But all that, I still take all that over bipolar any day. But it's nonetheless, it's, you know, it's like everyone has their own cross to carry. And no mental illness is more severe than another. They all are mental illnesses, and they all require specific care and attention. So I really would encourage our audience, you know, to be mindful and be aware of, you know, if someone tells you they have a mental illness, it's not only because they're just walking around sharing that information. It's for your safety. It's for you to understand that you need to treat that person a little bit differently. Not differently like spoon feeding them and making their life easier, but treat them with respect, treat them with dignity, and treat them like, you know, you care about them, or at least that they have your attention at that moment. But overall, there's a lot of resources, but it requires you to have that clear frame of mind of saying, I want to be better. I want to help myself. And you have to be willing to share and receive information so that you can move along. Because at the end of the day, no one's going to come knock on your door and say, hey, you know, you've been in your house 6 months. I need you to get out. No one. Your boss isn't going to all of a sudden shift his philosophies at work to make everything easier for you. So you have to help yourself with mental illness. But like I stated earlier, you do need a circle of people, not friends, not family, not your girlfriend, not your husband, not your side chick. Okay. It has to be somebody that cares about you. And like I said, it all looks different with medication. You just got to stick to it. Have faith. If it doesn't work, if you are throwing up, you know, you need to tell your psychiatrist or your prescribing doctor at that time. But communication is everything. If you don't communicate, if you stop receiving information, if you stop taking your medicine, if you stop, you know, cooperating with the process, you're not going to get as far along as you think. And that's been my TED Talk, guys. Thank you, Morph.
That was a serious PSA with Ray. I want to say thank you to Ray for sharing that. I wanted him to say it himself. I know other people dealing with mental illnesses as well. And a big thing that stuck out, you know, to me is don't be that person that knows that a certain person has like bipolar, anxiety, depression, and out them, you know, don't out them, you know, for having a mental illness, because that will only contribute to their, you know, depression, to their bipolar, for them to act out, you know, or out them and keep them away from certain things. You know, we know this happens. I've seen the examples. I've seen it happen, you know, and I've been, I'm not even going to lie, I've been on the wrong side of that to say, hey, I'm not going to invite such and such because he or she just may go left on us because you've seen something happen. You don't know what's going on. You know, you don't know if a person, you know, can just go left on you. But if you get to know that person, you know when stuff is going to go down, and you know how to treat that person, and they'll act normal with or without pills. I can tell you that, you know, if you trust that person and they've confided in you, hey, I have bipolar, or I've been diagnosed as bipolar, or I have depression, you know, find out why. You know, it's got to be a reason, you know, why it happened. You know, help it. Don't hinder it, you know, because all you're doing is basically making it worse, and anything can trigger them. Help them out. Tell them, hey, go ahead and take your pills, or did you remember to take your pills, or something like that. Don't make the situation worse. That's mental health.
Two things. One, I say this from experience. If you believe in God, whether it's Jesus, Muhammad, Allah, whatever you want to call God, okay? I have a very strong system of faith. But, you know, even in the Bible, there's a story about God sending you a raft, sending you a tree, sending you a branch for you to hold on to, and you let it pass you by. The solution to mental illness isn't exorcism, or you got to pray harder, because if you pray harder, then God's going to make it your way. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't talk to God. I'm not saying don't have faith in God. What I'm saying is that you still have to proactively help yourself, even if you believe in God, you know, that God gives you the tools to help yourself. So there shouldn't be a stigma or taboo or anything wrong with going to get help and taking the medication that you need to take, if you even have to take medication. That would be one thing for me. The only other thing I would say is be mindful of people's triggers. So all these illnesses, whether it's depression, anxiety, bipolar, ADHD, ADD, split personalities, all that, everyone has what they call a trigger. And a trigger is just what sets you off. Talking to somebody, first of all, if you see somebody and the first thing that comes out of your mouth is something pertaining to their mental illness, you're already pretty crappy person for that, because you should care about the person, you know. Don't define somebody by their mental illness or by whatever illness they have. You know, it's not like I walk up to people in wheelchairs and say, you know, remind them every day that they're quadriplegics or that they can't get up. You kind of have to have that sense of awareness and say, okay, well, this person a battle and they work really hard at it. Let me not make their life harder. But overall, just to end it on this one, it would just be block everybody out, block all people's opinions and feedback, and talk to a professional. Because again, the people around you just trying to help. But again, if they don't know what type of help you need, then they're either going to irritate you, or, you know, you're going to stay away from them. And a lot of times what people don't know is when you have an illness, the people you love the most are the people you try to stay away from the most, because you already have an illness. You don't want to hurt other people. And a lot of times people get hurt because they don't know where to draw the line of, all right, this person already let it be known that this makes them uncomfortable. Let me drop it. No, they keep pushing it. Or if you're going to do an intervention, don't gang up on people.
It's like poking a bear.
Exactly. Don't
poke the bear.
You know what you're going to get if you poke the bear, you know, and don't save me, save the bear, you know. Anyway, go ahead, Morph.
Yeah, so I just wanted to throw something in there. You know, I'm not the most religious person. You know, I go to church. Well, I do virtual church right now. One thing that's always been said, and it's in the Bible, God is not going to let you go through something if he doesn't know you can make it through. So it's a challenge. It's a life challenge. It's something that you have to get through with or without pills. You know, pills are something secondary. You know, if you have enough faith, praise God, you can make it through just with faith. I've seen it. You know, you don't necessarily need pills. Pills will help you, you know, suppress it. But having God in your life, you know, in your heart, that would help 100%, 99% of the times. So let's go through some of the mental illnesses, and I'll just give like a brief description of what they are. So depression, it's basically you being persistently depressed, loss of interest of different activities. And the reason I made sure I put persistent in there is because you can feel depressed because something happened to you today, but you're not depressed, you know, clinically. So you're not going to stop doing something. You know, you could just be depressed. Hey, my friend passed away, or, you know, my dog ran away, or I lost something, and then you find it and you're good. You know, it's different. So just remember, depression is something that you clinically diagnose, not that you're depressed for a certain amount of time. Anxiety. It's the feelings of worry, and it interferes in your daily activities. You know, so some people have anxiety when it comes to money issues, you know, or financial, or I don't know how I'm going to make it, you know, tomorrow because I don't have this or that, or, you know, my kids, you know, don't have enough food, get anxiety, and it just builds up because you're constantly thinking about it, and it hinders you, and you have an anxiety attack until, you know, you calm down. So that's anxiety. Bipolar. So that's basically different mood swings ranging from being depressed all the way to a high maniac high. So you can be like depressed and feeling bad, and then all of a sudden you feel happy, and then like 2 seconds later somebody says something and then you just go off the deep end, you know, and just go nuts on them.
So I kind of want to interrupt here because now, like I said, I overcame this, but I do kind of understand the processes now. So when you're bipolar and you're in a manic state, right? It's called manic.
Did I say manic? What did I say?
You said maniac.
Okay, manic.
No,
my
but,
bad.
No, you good. But it, pretty much that is what it is. It's you have a, you're more alert. Let's put it that way. So what people in a manic state tend to do, especially if you're bipolar, they will go on big shopping sprees, spend a ridiculous amount of money in a short period of time. And I'm not talking about just like retail therapy. I'm talking about like they will go and buy a new car. They will go unnecessary stuff. It's just that's their state of mind at that time. People with manic states tend to be they cheat a lot. So they tend to go look for another partner, stuff like that. So manic is stuff that you do when you have a lot of energy and your mind kind of goes on autopilot and does a bunch of stuff. The depressed side of it is, again, you're missing those endorphins. So endorphins are chemicals in your brain that automatically light up when something good or anything positive happens. Your brain lights up. And they've done several brain scans, and this has been done for years and years and years. But everybody needs endorphins. And when in a depressed person, they don't have those endorphins to excite them. And the only other thing I wanted to say was that a lot of these illnesses, believe it or not, because we always say, you know, this doesn't happen to kids, or this doesn't happen to old people. Like, you know, people think old people only develop Alzheimer's or dementia. And the truth is that there is no timeline for these illnesses. So to double back on my story from earlier, although I got diagnosed with ADHD at 28 years old, I originally got diagnosed with ADHD when I was 4. And the crazy thing about that is that my mother, you know, my mother was a young mother. She had me very young. And, you know, God bless her. I know she was just doing what she thought was best at the time as a mother. But had I just taken my medication starting at 4 years old, I would not have had a lot of events that happened to me in my life happen. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm not upset. I'm relieved that God gave me a second chance at 28 to start over. But pay attention to your children. A lot of times children will have behaviors that we rule out as them being children. Boys will be boys. Girls are sensitive. All those ignorant stereotypes and sayings that have been around for years, you need to pay attention to your children. If a child cannot sit still and people think ADHD is just, you know, you fidget a lot or you can't sit still or something. ADHD is a thought process issue. So the way my thoughts work, they come to me in a specific way. And everybody that has ADHD is different. You're not going to meet two people that have ADHD and they're exactly the same. a lot of things happen too, where people like me can have multiple mental illnesses, and it's hard to decipher which one is which unless you go through intense therapy and kind of talk about your traumas and stuff like that. So it is possible to have bipolar, ADHD, anxiety, PTSD, and a bunch of other stuff. It's possible to have it. Schizophrenics are typically bipolar as well and have anxiety and a bunch of other stuff. Don't think that, oh, it's just one little thing, or it's a small thing, or it's not a big deal. Like, one thing can lead to another the longer you wait. Specifically anxiety, since we were just talking about it right now. Anxiety can manifest itself, like Moore said, financially, if you don't have food for your children, stuff like that. But it could be as simple as you need to go to Walmart to pick up some groceries, and your anxiety kicks in when you get to Walmart. There's 300 people in Walmart at any given time, and you see a big crowd, you get anxiety. So anxiety will manifest itself differently for everybody. This depends on who you are.
That's all the time at Walmart. That's all the time at Walmart. All right. So Ray mentioned dementia. So this one happens more to, you know, elderly folks. It's just a sign of aging. It's normal. Basically gives you loss of judgment or memory loss. But remember, since this is a mental illness, it doesn't necessarily have to happen to an older person. Some people get dementia at a young age. You know, they just can't remember things. They 100% think they did something and they really didn't do it, or something happened, or they gave you something and they never did. That happens a lot. So attention deficit. I know Ray mentioned that. They just, folks that are diagnosed with ADHD just have a difficult time, you know, paying attention to certain things, you know, and this happens a lot. You know, you see this a lot now at a young age, when kids go to school, they're diagnosed with ADHD. Sometimes it's something else. Sometimes they just can't sit still. But a lot of times it is ADHD, you know, so you can't just go popping pills. You got to get the right diagnosis. If the teacher calls you and says, hey, your son has ADHD, he can't just sit still, that doesn't mean that. Some people just can't sit still. When I was younger, I hated haircuts because I could not sit down for 20, 30 minutes while I was getting my haircut. And it was just like, I just became so fidgety. To this day, that still happens, but not like when I have haircuts. It's just sometimes just like, when I'm just sitting around.
You let your barber put you to sleep now.
No, huh? I don't have that problem. I think that just happened when I was younger, when I first moved to Texas. That's when I realized it. So also, you know, with ADHD, they have hyperactivity or just a lot of impulsiveness, you know, just randomly want to go do something or just jump off of something. Not necessarily to hurt themselves, but, you know, what would happen if I did this and they just jump off of like a, you know, two-story building or something like that. I've seen that happen. Then schizophrenia. So schizophrenia is just person's ability to think or feel or behave or act clearly. And they're out of touch with reality. So basically, I have a quick story on this. I knew this lady that was schizophrenic and crazy and paranoid. Had me remove all the wall plates from her house and check behind each one, wanted me to remove the AC ducts, but the maintenance guy had told me that he did that like a week before, and she had like, and this is a true story, had aluminum over her phone, had all kinds of security. She had a lot of money. This wasn't no cheap condo that she was in. And she was, I don't know which member of ZZ Top she dated, but she did mention that he had bugged her phone. He was always like following her. He was hiding in the air ducts, and I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy. And she was, you know, she gave a lot of information to the maintenance guy because he was always there. And she basically told him that she was schizophrenic. She was taking pills, and from time to time she would stop, and I guess that's when she would have her episodes. I mean, that was crazy. I didn't like dealing with that because I didn't know how to handle it. I was a young guy at that time. I was probably like 24, 25. you know, I didn't know how to deal with that.
To be fair, Morph, this is something I wanted to touch bases on too. If you're a person of color, or if you're a person that is labeled a minority, right? It's even that much more pivotal to get help. Because if you look at the numbers, the discrepancies between people of color or minorities and our white brothers and sisters is that they actually get help. They actually go, they get the help, they take their meds, and they live life like nothing's going on. The problem with the people of color and minorities is that we shun our family members and our friends that start to give the slightest bug of issues. And I get it, man. We're all adults. We all have stressful lives. No, you know, everybody has a lot of responsibilities and stuff. And it can be a bit of a burden. I don't want to say the word burden, but it can be to kind of take on somebody else's situation, their problems and their instabilities. But again, if you care about the person, if you care about yourself, you're going to do everything in your power to make it work and figure it out, because you have to start caring about your sick relatives. And I don't even want to say sick. It's just they need help. You know what I'm saying? We talk so much nowadays about the opioid crisis and how people need to get help. And there's all these centers now where people can go and get help if they have an opioid addiction. That would have been helpful during the crack epidemic, might I add. But the point is that America's starting to turn the leaf on mental illness, and people are starting to take it seriously. And I don't want our people of color or minorities to continue to lack and fall behind in this race where we're literally behind because we're just not taking care of business. We need to stop with the slander and the taboo and all the smug remarks, because you're not better than somebody that has mental illness. Everybody has something wrong with them, whether it's an STD, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's financial issues, gambling issues, drug issues. No one is perfect, no matter how perfect they try to look and appear, you know, because especially on social media, you know, this new generation, you know, they have higher suicide rates. They have more depression, more anxiety, because people are competing with others on social media. People don't post their dark, deep, sad moments on social media. They post their highlights. You know, people going on trips, people walking their dogs, people with their kids. People don't want to post them crying by themselves in a closet or sitting in a car or arguing with their spouse. Nobody wants to post that. So no one's going to post their dirty laundry on social media. So it's time to further the conversation. It's time to get help. There is no conspiracy to keep us down by getting us medicated. It's all stuff to keep you down. Because if you don't take the medication, if you don't seek out help, you're on your own. And since you're not a professional, as we established earlier, you're going to probably fail if you're on your own.
So yeah, and touching on that, you got to remember, get help now, so you don't get put in a psychiatric home, you know, where anything can happen. You can be, you know, mistreated, you know, or just go through, you know, moments of time all by yourself in a white panic room, you know, and stop the stigma of, you know, us minorities will basically say, well, that ain't nothing, you know. Instead of getting the kid to help or that person to help or the family member to help, they're like, that ain't nothing. They just acting up. That's just a phase. It's not a phase. You know, they could potentially, you know, be going down the wrong path. Look at these kids that all of a sudden pull out a gun and start killing people. That wasn't a phase. You knew something was going on. He sent you that crazy message, or he started drawing crazy pictures. You know, don't allow that illness to kill other people, you know, because you didn't take care of it in the beginning, you know, and that's why we're talking about mental illness, because it's out there. You know, all these kids that when they test them and they check, when they're dead and they got shot and they check their head and they say, hey, he actually was mentally ill, this is why he did this. Don't check his brain then. You got to check it, you know, now and prevent your kid or the next kid being killed or the next parent, you know, these kids killing their grandfathers and grandmothers and people there watching them, you know, stop that now. Let's stop it now. Go get diagnosed and let's figure this out. You had something, Ray?
There's always going to be excuses. There's always going to be a reason why you shouldn't get help, but it only takes one reason to go get help. And that is, you know, you're not 100%. You know, you can be happier. You know, you can be better, and you know that you can impact others. So it's not about, hey, it's all on you. Go get help, you know, but it is about having some self-awareness and saying, man, I can't push through like I used to. I can't bounce back like I used to. You know, when you start realizing, like, you shouldn't sound like a retiring basketball player. Let's just put it that way. You know, you shouldn't sound like, well, you know, I gave life my good 20 years, you know, I gave it 30 years and I'm just, you know, I'm fading away. I'm getting older. Like, that's not how it works. We all deserve to live at our max potential. We all deserve to have an equal opportunity to, you know, move forward and succeed and thrive and all that. It's something that, you know, like I said, if you saw a person that needed a wheelchair, you're not going to walk up to them and say, stand up. You know, you're going to treat them with love and respect. And I mean, I can't even tell you the numerous amount of times that I've not only seen people with mental illnesses, but even physical disabilities. And I don't treat them differently than I would anybody else, but I am more aware and, you know, weary of their situation. Like, I'm not gonna, like I said, just disrespect somebody. But that's the thing. Mental illnesses can't be seen. Like, if I take a picture and post it on social media, you can't see that I have 3 mental illnesses.
Yeah.
You have to talk to me and you'd have to interact with me to even start to think, man, something is off about
this. Yeah, I have a story, you but know? I'll share it once I'm done with all the different mental illnesses. And it's heartbreaking. So, obsessive compulsive, basically OCD. It's excessive thoughts leading to repetitional behavior, basically compulsive. Somebody that checks the door 20 times, and if they don't do it 20 times, they start to think about it in their head. You know, these people's brains, hamster on the wheel. It just keeps going. They can't sleep at night because they're constantly thinking about the same thing over and over, and they obsess over it because they're thinking about it over and over, and they don't know if they completed the task. I've seen many years ago where folks had to open and close the door 20 times, 30 times, you know, and then finally, you know, and it had to be an even number or an odd number. And then, or they would, you know, call somebody 20 times, or, you know, it's many things, or they think of something over and over and over until finally their brain gets tired and, you know, they're tired at that point. That's obsessive OCD, obsessive compulsive. Then there's autism. Autism is common, now more than ever. Before, people used to be shunned for it, you know, or they would say, you know, and I'm saying this just to, you know, bring it out there, you know, that they were retarded or something. A person that has autism is not retarded. They just learn different, you know, and you really even shouldn't even use the word retarded. You know, it's almost like slapping somebody in the face now. And I get it. You know, sometimes we joke around and say, oh, you acting retarded, but that's different than saying you are retarded. You know, it's kind of different, but it's the same. That's a disorder that impairs the ability to communicate and interact. Ways to help on that, you know, people with autism, you know, the littlest love or giving them a dog or something like that, you know, tends to help out, or you know, treating them like a normal person, you know, they'll end up learning and picking up on, you know, your vibes, because if you treat them bad, they're going to act a certain way as well, you know, because people with autism could, you know, go left as well. PTSD, post-traumatic stress. A lot of people think that just happens to military people. It doesn't. This happens to a lot of people. And this comes about because of a traumatic thing that happened either in your life or you witnessed something traumatic. And what happens is something triggers it. So I have a friend who I went to a baseball game with, and this is one of my stories. I went to a baseball game with him. It was Friday. We were watching the Astros versus New York. You know, I had to represent New York. And on Friday nights, I didn't know this. On Friday nights, they always have fireworks, or they used to have fireworks all the time. And we came out the game. The Astros won, you know, Yankees lost. But whether they lost or not, they would always do fireworks. So as I come out, we're walking, you know, to our cars. He was going to his car, I was going to mine, but we were just talking, you know, shooting the breeze outside. And the fireworks just started going off. And I kid you not, like, he went into a daze. Like, I had no idea what was going on. And I was like, hey, are you okay? And, like, he was literally just, like, staring up in the sky, like something happened, you know. And he is a military person. I believe he was in the Marines, you know, with the Marine training. You know, they go through all that crazy stuff, you know. And I know he went to the war and things like that. And I didn't really realize what was happening until a few days later. His wife reached out to me and said, thank you. He actually, you know, went into a PTSD attack or something like that. I don't know what you would call it clinically, but, you know, I guess all the war, you know, things were just popping up in his head. And that wasn't the first time. I want to say I went with one of his other friends who went paintballing, and I want to say it was him. I can't remember. We went paintballing and he was running around like he was literally like in Kuwait or something, like running and jumping through the buildings and like diving and like doing like sniper type things. Like, it was tripping me out. I mean, yeah, I'm 100% gung-ho when I'm playing, you know, paintball, but, you know, this guy was like running and jumping through windows, like, because it had like buildings kind of like the Old West, and he was running through there, and I didn't know what the heck was going on. You know, I don't know. I didn't really know that guy. That was his friend, but I thought that was kind of weird. But, you know, to this day, you know, I just figured it was something to do with PTSD. When people started shooting at him, you know, he just started running because the trauma came back to his head. Do you have anything, Ray, before I go to my last story?
Like you said, there's PTSD and then there's some, it's called NCPTSD, which is non-combat PTSD.
Okay.
And what happens with that is, like you said, you know, it's a trigger. So the fireworks in that instance serve as a trigger. To literally, when you're in a PTSD state, it's like, honestly, it feels like you're there. It feels like you're in that moment that you're reliving. It feels like you're there. It feels very real. You know, like everybody has fight or flight, you know, adrenaline, right? Everybody has that. What happens with PTSD is you pretty much feel that adrenaline at that moment. You feel that same feeling. So if you're getting robbed at gunpoint, you're going to have two reactions. One, you're going to fight back, or two, you're going to run away. That's a natural feeling. If you've ever been in a hostile situation where you've had that the jitters, or you felt anxious or something, that's right there. That's your adrenaline kicking it. So when you have PTSD, while, yeah, you can see up in the sky, it's fireworks in your head. The alarms are going off. War is coming, you know. I myself have PTSD, like I stated earlier, and it just, when you're in that moment, you know, it's not like I'm blanked out completely or I'm not aware of what's in front of me or who's in front of me, but once that emotion is kicked in, you kind of have to accept what comes with it. So, for example, something that sets me off is getting ganged up on. So let's say I'm having a conversation with you, Morph, and your mother and your sister and your cousin is in the room. And, you know, let's say we're talking about something that's personal. If I'm sharing something with you, if we're exchanging information and I got 3-4 people throwing their perspectives and ideas at me at the same time, that's too much for me to handle. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm talking to one person at a time, I'm not going to talk to the whole room. This isn't a speech. This isn't a congratulatory statement. Like, this is real talk. Having different voices in one conversation, it will set me off right away. I'm no hesitation. I'm coming for your throat, because now I feel like I'm being attacked. Now, what people may look at as support, like, hey, we all came together to talk to you, I look at it as an act of aggression. So if you attack me, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do to you, but it's coming. I'm going to hurt you verbally. I'm going to hurt you physically. I'm going to hurt you either way I can, because I feel like I'm threatened, but it's not real. It's just not the reality of it. So PTSD is tricky. It's not something where you just got to stop associating with people. It's just something that you got to be mindful of. Like, if you know somebody has PTSD, don't take them to the 4th of July Independence Day parade. You know what I'm saying? Don't take somebody paintballing if they have PTSD. Now, granted, if they sign up for it and they want to do it, you know, that's out of your control.
Especially if you don't know about it.
Exactly. And that's kind of where sharing information comes in. As I touched back earlier, is just, you got to be comfortable in sharing your condition with the people that are around you. This isn't like your sexual preference or your gender identity, where it has to be shared with, you know, whomever you choose to share it with. Mental illness is for everybody's protection. It's for your protection. It's for mine. And it's for everybody around me, because I don't want to be triggered, because I don't want to go off. I don't want to be mean. But if you're not helping my situation, and you're, on the contrary, you're agitating it or making it worse, then hey, you signed up for it. I mean, when you're friends with somebody, or you a family or loved one or whatever, you signed up for it. And if you don't want to deal with that person, then you can do what everybody else does and block them. You know, stop talking to them, cut the communication. But it's better for you to do that than to continuously be in that person's life and either harm them or they harm you. So just, like, again, be mindful, communicate, and show some sympathy for the people that you care about, whether it's a friend or relative or whatever. Like, you know, it shouldn't be something to where it's a deal breaker. It should never be a deal breaker unless the condition is that out of control. We've brought up the psych ward a couple times in this podcast. And while I would love to say that that's worst case scenario, the worst case scenario is death.
Yep.
Whether it's suicide, whether it's homicide, you know, that's the worst case scenario. But the next worst case scenario would be the psych ward. Now, do you just get walked into a psych ward? No, you have to get assigned to a psych ward by not only your therapist, but by your judge. It has to be a judge as well that sentences you to a mental facility. Typically, that'll happen to people that harm others or that cannot control themselves at all, even with medication. With schizophrenia, I know I'm jumping from topic to topic here, but with schizophrenia, like, if you start your medication and then you stop abruptly, that's going to affect you big time, because all mental illness is a chemical imbalance in your brain. For some reason or another, your brain's either missing serotonin, dopamine, your endorphins are blocked, your neurotransmitters are damaged, something. Okay. So it's all chemicals. So while you can do natural remedies, the chemicals are there because your body produces them naturally. So there's nothing in the medication that they're giving you that isn't natural. What happens is, let's say you don't have ADHD. A popular drug to do is Adderall for college students, for teens, stuff like that. And if you don't have it, then yeah, you know, you're going to feel some type of psychoactive feeling from it. You know, you're going to get high. You're going to get that massive attention that people get when they take those medications. That's why people take it. They stay up all night. They study, they do a cram session, whatever. But if you actually have ADHD, you don't have those same side effects that drug would have on you if you didn't have it. The ADHD medication actually helps you. Another popular drug out in the street is Xanax. If you're taking Xanax and you don't have anxiety, you're going to be high out of your mind. You're going to be numb. Rumor around town is, when you're on Xanax, you steal. People do all types of stuff on Xanax, you know, because they don't have that illness.
Rumor around town.
If you take Xanax and you have anxiety, Rumor around town. I don't steal myself, but I know people that have been under the influence, and they go and steal, or they drink and take Xanax and they crash their car, like, or they completely blank out from what they did the day before. Like, some people will take Xanax and sleep for 18 hours, you know? But again, if you actually have anxiety and you're going through a crisis and you take your pill, man, it's going to calm you down to such a point to where you're happy, you're laughing, you're eating, you feel good again. It's something that you need. So a lot of these things, it's misconceptions because people abuse the system. If you're not sick, don't take psychotic medication because you're not sick. So yeah, you're gonna get high, which is if you're taking medication without being sick, you already know what you're doing. So you're gonna get the feeling that you're looking for, but that can lead to actual mental illness.
Yep,
and you know addiction. What I mean? Like you may not even have mental illness, but then you take it and it becomes something because you were messing around with something that you shouldn't have been messing around with.
Leads to addiction, and then once you become immune to Xanax or whatever, you know, psychotic medicine. Guess what? You're going to look for the next best thing, cocaine or something or crack, because guess what? Your body's used to it. So you're either going to take more pills, you know, overdose or something, you know, or something else, you know, hurt yourself.
You know, one more thing, what I will tell people is that the majority of street drugs are actually supposed to help you. But again, it's the abuse that comes in. So remember how I was talking about dopamine and serotonin and stuff like that? So if you start looking at drugs and what they actually do to you, like marijuana is dopamine. And that's what's known as the happy drug. Dopamine is in your brain and it excites you. So, you know, when you sit down and eat and you're on marijuana, you enjoy that meal. You taste every bite. Like
it excites your senses.
You know, that's what it excites your senses. Exactly. So you're in a... People think marijuana and alcohol are in the same boat. Like if you don't smoke weed and if you don't drink alcohol, or if you do drink alcohol, people think it's the same effect. And it's really totally not. Different. You know, the way Hollywood portrays marijuana is like you smoke a blunt, you get in your car, and you're like, yeah, man, the stars in the sky are so bright, dude. Like, no, that's not.
It actually
how
affects
it is.
Everybody
that
differently.
Might be true.
To one person, it can make you hungry. You know, or you want to excite your senses, so you just start eating because, you know, it's great. But then to other people, it relaxes them, you know, and then some people, it actually, you know, helps them sleep. You know, that's why, you know, they're using the CBD oils, you know, because it does have, you know, its good effects. I'm not going to say that smoking marijuana has bad effects or good effects. It relates to everybody differently. I've seen people 100%, you know, bookworms and do 100% good at school and never have an issue. And guess what? They smoke weed. But then you got that one person that smokes it and can't remember nothing, you know, and then sleeps for hours and hours upon time. You know, it's like I said, everything affects everyone differently, and you should be using drugs, prescription drugs, for the right purpose, not to get high, not to do like I know people go get a bunch of somas because supposedly they got back issues, and then they drink, you know, alcohol and go into that what they call the soma coma. You know, I've been to many pain clinics, you know, in my line of business, and I see the lines out the you know the wazoo of people just waiting to get pills, and the doctor is part of the problem. You know, Kanye and opioids, he wasn't really like sick, you know, whatever it was, you know, whatever pain he had, you know, I've been to like these pain clinics and that person goes in for 5 minutes and says, hey, my back is hurting. Oh, your back is hurting. You need a refill. Yeah, I need a refill. Go ahead and give me like 3 months worth, so I don't have to come back for a long time, you know, and these people will sit out there like it's the, you know, this person told me that location across the street from me is basically a dope house because all they're doing is just prescribing pills to people that other drugs, but do prescription drugs and over, you know, overdo it.
So keep staying on the drugs. Cocaine natural comes from a coca leaf. not cocoa like hot cocoa, but cocoa. You know, and everybody knows that Colombia is one of the most famous countries for that. That's not their only good thing, but that's what they're known for. But anyway, that's natural. But once they process it and everything, you know, all cocaine really is amphetamines, you know. And what's amphetamine? Amphetamine is basically what gives you life, like not life, but energy. So, you know, people that take ecstasy, you know, that's amphetamines, which your body naturally produces. But they chop it up and cut it down with a bunch of
extra
adulterants, yeah, extra stuff. A bunch of filters, and they chop it down, and then it's terrible. So crack, which was highly addictive, is just cheap cocaine. So that just tells you it's just amphetamines. Now, is it good for you? No. Do I need to smoke a crack pipe to know that crack ain't good for me? No. But people do it nonetheless, because that's what life is. You get to make your own choices. Meth, methamphetamine, okay? That's what meth is. And what meth is serotonin. Now, with meth, it's so much serotonin that your brain basically, it doesn't fry itself, but it's like, it's fried. You know, it's so much serotonin that it floods your brain with too much of one chemical, and it throws everything else off. So that's why meth heads typically don't live a long time. And once they're on it, it's impossible to get off of it. And little nugget here, the more
nuggets. Nugget, let's go with the nuggets.
A little 50 piece right here. During World War II in Nazi Germany, I don't know if many of you know this, but Hitler had the majority of the Nazi German army on meth. And so these guys were killing all these innocent people, civilians, but they were methed out all day, you know. And they had women at the concentration camps methed out and everything like that. So meth literally had the German army invading countries left and right, you know. And we saw the terrible effects that had for the Jewish community and a lot of other innocent people. But again, that's the point that I'm getting at, guys, is a lot of people that are doing drugs are sick as well. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're smoking marijuana to help you with depression, anxiety, or whatever, or you're taking Adderall for ADHD and it's to help you focus and concentrate, or you're smoking a meth and that's serotonin, or you take an ecstasy pill and that's amphetamines. It doesn't matter what drug you're taking. Typically, people that are taking drugs have some type of illness as well. Not all. Some people just take drugs just for the sake of it. But the overwhelming majority of people, which is why people are so focused on this opioid crisis, they're just sick and they just need help, and they're getting the wrong help. So with opioids, it's a little bit different because they're pills, and if you follow the instructions, you'll be fine. If you take your medication as prescribed and instructed, you're fine. But it's when you start, let me take one more pill. All right, let me take another pill. That two pill limit a day turns into 5-6. I've legit seen people take 6 Xanax at one time. 6. Okay. For reference, you know that song with Drake and Travis Scott? And he's like, I did half a Xan, 13 hours till I land. That's half a Xanax. Okay. Half. Like, if you've never done Xanax, if you take half, you'll probably sleep the best sleep you've ever had. Right. But it's going from half to 5 to 6 to 7 more. That's where the addiction kicks in, because you have to take 6 just to feel the feeling. It's like you said, you build up your tolerance, you build up that immunity. You don't feel the effects of that drug anymore. So you got to do it more. And that's the thing about drugs. That's the big lie, is you think every time you get high, you're going to get that same feeling. You're chasing that high feeling all the time, and you never
chasing
get
the
it
first
anymore.
Time is like having sex for the first time. It's not going to be the same again.
I don't know about that, Morph, because I mean, the first nut and the last nut feels just as good. I ain't gonna lie. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to say it.
All right. So getting back to the topic. So all right. So with mental illness, the effects around the world. So I'm going to name out the top 4. Mental illnesses throughout the globe. That's everywhere. All right. So depression is the top one. That affects 264 million people. Dementia is the second. It affects 50 million people. And then bipolar, that's 45 million. And this may have changed too, because this is the last report from 2020. Schizophrenia affects 20 million people. So that's the top four right there. I don't know if you were aware of that, but these are the top four. And I mean, I would think, I knew depression would be the top one because most people suffer from depression, because depression is part of, you know, dementia, schizophrenia, bipolar, you know, that one has its hand in everything, you know, ADHD, because if you can't hang out with people, you're going to feel depressed. Like I said earlier, you know, the effects of depression, it puts its two cents in everything. To end the podcast today, I'm gonna tell you a story that I read. Like Ray was saying earlier, you know, Instagram and all these places, you know, the happy place, what they call it. People post pictures all the time, but you don't really know what they're dealing with, you know, who they're dealing with or what's going on in their life. Well, in that story, that 19-year-old just committed suicide. I want to say it was about a month back. Committed suicide, just killed herself, and no one knew why. And she gave nobody no indication what was going to happen or that she was going to do it. But they did find one post, and she basically said, "This is me, the real me." And basically it was a picture of her with all her makeup on and just crying and bawling. You know, just crying, you know, and she's like, "This is the real me. This is not the fake me. All the happy posts that you see, that's just me covering up because I feel a certain way." And I think within a week of that post is when she killed herself. I don't know how she killed herself. The story didn't really say, because I guess they didn't have all the details at that point. But I'm just saying that to say this: you don't know what anybody's dealing with. So just be careful what you're doing. You know, how you dealing with folks, you know, once they divulge that they have an issue, help them out. Don't make it worse. Like I said earlier, don't hinder it. Fake life that we live, you know, on Instagram, people popping bottles, you know, people showing money, you know, half those people are broke. You know, the people popping bottles are swiping credit cards, you know, and many people say this all the time, you know, who was that did it? Little Bow Wow, he acted like he was on a private jet, and the whole time he was actually, you know, on a commercial. You know, you don't have to show off to be in the in crowd. You have to be, you know, go to the bank. You got, you know, you got $3,000 cash, but they're all ones, and you got 100 on the top, you know, just to make it seem. And then you put the, you know, it to your ear and act like you got money or something like that. Or go buy these fake chains. I know people that go buy fake chains, you know, try to show it off. And then like 2 months later, you don't see them with that chain anymore because it already started fading or something like that. Don't live a life of how do I want to say, a mass life. You know, just live your life. You don't have to, you know, appeal to the masses and do what everybody else is doing. You know, mental illness is a big thing. You know, it's, you see with the staggering numbers that I gave out, 264 million people, you know, it's around the globe. So that's pretty big. A lot of people dealing with depression, you know, a lot of people taking pills. Some people are not taking pills. You know, we never know. You never know what's going to trigger somebody either. So just be careful what you're doing. Don't, you know, especially with this road rage crap, you know, you don't know if you trigger that person while they're driving. You know, and they just go left and just start shooting. And guess what? Innocent bystanders have been getting killed because of this. So that's my little 2 cents to end the podcast. Ray, you got something for us?
With suicides, with that story, as tragic as it was, typically men are the ones that kill themselves without giving warnings. Or typically the suicide rates are like triple in men what they are in women. Nonetheless, it doesn't matter what gender you are. What matters is what steps to take, right? So if you are a person battling with suicidal thoughts, remind yourself, as hard as it is, try to talk to yourself and say, hey, my situation right now is not my whole life, is not my whole story. First. The second thing would be, remind yourself that every day is a new day. And just because there's a dark night, that doesn't mean there can't be a bright day. And tomorrow, things can change completely. I literally lived my 10 to 12 years of my life thinking that I had this one condition. And from one day to the next, like, I thank God, of course, without God, it wouldn't be possible. But from one day to the next, my whole life changed. Had I gave in to some of my temptations at 17, at 23, at 25, at 21, maybe I wouldn't be here today. But it was that desire of mine to live. Because, see, suicide is easy in the sense of it's a split second and you're gone. But actually choosing to live is the battle. You got to want to live. So if you are facing suicidal thoughts, say something to somebody. And if somebody is telling you that they want to kill themselves or harm others, listen to them, because they're not telling you that for shits and giggles. They're telling you that because they feel it and they want to do it. And they're just trying to find a way to either do it or not do it. And you can be that person to stop a mass shooting just by being a good friend or a good relative or a loved one versus having a whole concert shot up or a movie theater shot up because you didn't take the time to take that person's statement seriously. That doesn't mean call the police, but what it means is we need to focus on this person. We need to pay attention. We need to monitor them. We need to help them. We need to talk to them. You know, you need to take those warnings seriously, because people, when they talking about death, they not playing, you know, and sometimes we miss the signs because we, like I said, we follow them on social media. We think they're doing great. Read their caption. You know, if they post a happy picture, read their caption. What does the caption say? We talk about Britney Spears. I mean, she wasn't battling drug addiction or anything, but Britney was posting subliminal messages on her Instagram for over a year or two.
Yeah, she was battling mental abuse,
trying to get, you know, that conservatorship taken off. So people will drop clues and signs everywhere. You just got to pay attention. And again, life is so fast sometimes that we don't have time to slow down and kind of pay attention to every detail.
Like my, but, hey, like my wife says, read the room.
That is right. Oh, I love that. I love that. That is great advice. Read the room. Check the, I like calling it checking the temperature. So I like checking the temperature in the room, seeing how everybody is kind of feeling, how everybody's acting. I will walk into a room and not say a word before I've observed the room, seeing who's who, what's what. And then I go from there, because sometimes you're in a room with people that are more unstable than you. Or like there's a song, there's two songs I wanted to reference in this segment. One was, it's called The Mask by the Fugees. So it came out in their first album, The Score, I believe 1996 or 95, The Score. And it's called The Mask. And, you know, everybody wears a mask is the point of the song. You know, what you see right now is not what's behind closed doors. This generation in particular, I think, has taken that saying, fake it till you make it, a little too seriously. Because nowadays, Bow Wow, I think Bow Wow is a trendsetter, because Bow Wow made it cool to take pictures and stunt on the internet without really owning that. And then Lil Dicky went on, Lil Dicky, the artist, the rapper, he went on to shoot a whole music video off of borrowed stuff, a mansion, a yacht, everything. So this generation has taken that fake it till you make it to a whole nother level, because they're so subconsciously trying to compete and trying to act like they got it. Like you said,
trying to keep up with the Joneses or be better than the next person.
The people making it rain in the strip club. Now, okay, there's some people that got it in the strip club, got it. And I'm not saying from experience, I don't really go to strip clubs like that, but I just know some dudes in the strip club got it like that. But some dudes go to the strip club in front and act like they got it. And they still live at home with their mama. They 30 years old and they don't pay no bills. They don't got no car note. And they act like they got all this money and they fake. So the authenticity of people has kind of gotten lost in the mix nowadays because of social media and all that. But I'm not just going to blame social media. I blame the people, you know, because at the end of the day, man, we grew up with this concept of if I don't got it, I'm going to work hard and grind and hustle to get it. You know, yeah. I'm not going to put a chain on my neck and it's fake. You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm wearing it in public and it's green or black or it just don't shine like it was supposed to, people going to notice off rip because you already wearing something that draws attention to you. So why would I wear something that's fake to have somebody point me out on my fakeness? But nah, these people, they smart. They take all these social media pictures with this fake ass jewelry. They take it off and go to the club and people think they got it like that. Nah. Ain't nobody out here balling out of control like that. If you've gone grocery shopping lately, you could buy half the stuff that you used to buy and you still spending about $200 and you don't even have everything that you need. So these guys and all these little Instagram models and stuff, they fronting, they broke. You know what I'm saying? They on social media because they broke. If people with money, I've never seen one tweet by the Rothschilds. Have you? I've never seen a tweet by a Rockefeller. I'm not saying they don't have social media, but I'm just saying if you got money, you're too busy to be on social media. You have to have a social media account manager to run your social media because you're that busy. Because to make money, you got to spend your time to make that money. That's the sacrifice. You know, time is infinite, but it's the most valuable resource because no matter what you do, you can't get more of it. So
yeah, you can't get it back.
So at the end of the day, Morph, it's a lot of things. What I would say about our numbers that we gave in the podcast is since 2020, considering there's been so much anxiety, because I think depression and anxiety go hand in hand. I know anxiety wasn't in the top three, but, you know, imagine this, man. We've gone through a global pandemic. Just in the United States alone, over 600,000 people died. So 600,000 people that were with us in 2020 aren't with us anymore. That is stressful. There's people that had to bury their family members by the numbers, not just one. I'm talking about they had to bury 3, 4. And where do you come up with $7,000 to $10,000 out of nowhere for each relative? So there's going to be a lot of stress right now. There's going to be a lot of people that are anxious. There's going to be a lot of people that are angry. There's going to be depression. And again, everybody was in such a rush to go back to normal that people just didn't realize that these 2 years have taken a toll on them. So with the rise in road rages and stuff, it's 50-50. Some of it is that stress that everybody kind of has. I mean, look at right now. We're in a war. There's a whole war going on, you know, and it's affecting us. Our gas prices shot up over $1, $2. Our food's gone up. Everything's gone up. So even if we're not in battle, it's affecting us. So the anxiety is going to be there. The depression is going to be there. It's what you do about it that's going to make the difference in determining how you bounce back from it. Because this has been a very critical moment for all of mankind, not just the United States, for everybody. And just imagine the countries where they don't have the resources that we do. So definitely this is going to be a time where there's going to be a lot more increases in anxiety, depression, PTSD, stuff like that, because of the intense, constant pressure that we're on as Americans and as people. You know, the media is constantly shoving issues down our throats and stuff like that. So just be mindful and don't be afraid to speak up. And if just because one person says no or shuts you down, it doesn't mean that the next person doesn't want to help you or doesn't care about you. You just have to have that discernment to know who's here for you and who's bullshit. But ultimately, guys, I'm sure in our description we can post the National Suicide Hotline and different resources for people to get help. But it's a conversation that it's time that we update ourselves. We're in 2022. It's something that's very real. Every family has that one or two people or whoever that is a little throwed off, a little different. Are you going to be part of the problem or are you going to be part of the solution? And that's what I want to leave everybody with. Part of the problem or part of the solution. We can all help each other and we can all peacefully coexist if we just take a little bit more time and a little bit more patience to help those that aren't at 100% like us every day.
Thank you, Ray. All right. So just remember, this was one whole big PSA with Ray and Morph. So just keep up. You know, do your due diligence to help that next person. Like Ray said, you know, help yourself as well. One of the ways of treating this is self-help, self-love. Please do that. All right. And with that, we're going to end the podcast. Please be sure to follow us on our social medias. Go to our website, www.morphspeaks.com. You can listen to the podcast there. We're also available on Apple, Spotify, Google, all of them out there. We're on there. You can also follow us on our Facebook, More Speaks, Instagram, More Speaks, everything More Speaks. And be sure to also follow Ray. What's your handle, Ray?
I'm on Instagram at Rayvolutionary, Ray_Volutionary.
And also, I know I've been mentioning this from time to time, wherever you listen to us, if you listen direct to our webpage, then you can follow us there. If you go to like Spotify, you know, follow us, click that follow. So like that, you automatically get updated when we post. Most of them, you'll know the same day, such as Spotify tell you automatically. Also, I believe Anchor. Make sure you follow us. Give us a like, a follow. Make sure you comment, you know, and let us know what you feel, and we'll post some more information. What you got, Ray?
Nah, y'all chime in, man. If you guys found something from this conversation that you have some more questions on, or maybe you just want to open up and, you know, you just want to talk, reach out. You know, feel free to do that. You know, we're really active on our socials, and we'll get back in touch with you. But thank y'all for this talk, and hopefully our audience was able to get some good tidbits that can help them in their day-to-day.
All right, so we're out. Y'all have a good one. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to More Speaks.